Gary Poot does join us in the studio, and thanks for coming in and giving us your time.
Hello, Purdy.
At a time when the footy club's front and back page. Gary?
Hey, Andy. Gazy, Derm.
Purdy.
How are you, mate?
Before we get on to matters of Dane Beams, as Gazy just mentioned on the way in, we never get a footballer of this generation come in and say that Dermot didn't break their eye socket, their nose, perforate their eardrums, stand on their feet.
This line of questioning is not too savoury at this time of morning.
Gary, did you? What part of your anatomy was severely affected one way or the other by Dermot Brereton?
Well, I was telling you guys this morning, before I took out my now wife, but the first date we ever had, where I was trying to impress her, and I went away on the first date with two black eyes and a broken nose that I'd received that day from Dermy in the first quarter.
Just unlucky. You got a sweet one. Just a little unlucky.
Did you know that Gary had a big date on that particular night? You just wanted to make it uncomfortable for him that night?
Probably after receiving that injury, it was probably he was a little close to me. So just trying to get rid of him.
Classed him as a good mate. We'd played junior footy together, state representation football. If I was an enemy, imagine what would have happened.
I remarked
we played Teal Cup together.
Did you really?
Yeah, and Fish played as well, and Busey. We had an extraordinary. It was an unbelievable Teal Cup team, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very good team. And then to watch those players go on and build careers was fantastic.
I remarked that it was unusual that a Fitzroy defender of that era got close enough to their opponent to actually cop one, Purdy, because you didn't mind freewheeling a bit, you Fitzroy defenders back in those days.
Well, I had to cover my man and Roosey. Roosey's man was Norm. Roosey would be up on the wing chasing kicks, and I usually had had two blokes at that.
Not just because he's here, and you know, I'll speak the truth. I hate it when Purdy came to you. Because it means you weren't getting Roosey. Roosey was a gun. And Roosey had come off and he'd have 25 possessions at centre half back. And it was how well did he play? And you'd sort of out the side of your mouth go, yeah, but I got four. He'd give you a real crack at it.
Hey, Purdy, it must seem like a light years away with some of the stuff that you've got to go through with the Collingwood Football Club. And you've got a tough decision ahead, it would seem, with Dane Beams, with what lies ahead. He's clearly got some very strong, compassionate grounds for which he wants to return home. What is the situation? What's the conversation been with the club?
Well, it's well documented that his father's been sick for quite some time, and that was an issue last year. And the end of this season, obviously, Beamsy's been taking some time to think about. You know, you do feel a long way away when someone's sick, and in Queensland, where we recruited him from, and they live on the Gold Coast, and he come to Bucks yesterday and said, I'd like to return. I'd like to be closer to my father and the family and get the whole family
together. That was yesterday?
Yeah, and that was yesterday. And so we're sympathetic for that. It didn't come out of left field. We knew that was an issue for quite some time. So we do need to come up with a solution that works for all parties. As a contracted player, we believe that the conversations that we're having at the moment, which is for Beamsy to remain a Collingwood player and to give him more opportunity during the pre-season and during the season to be home with his family, is a good compromise and in the best interests of everyone.
So you'll be making concessions to him that he can spend more time with his father. As you sit here now, are you under any circumstance going to say, all right, let's get a deal done?
No, at this stage, I think we've got to look at what is the ideal scenario. And what was put to us yesterday, which we take on board and respect, we think the best solution for all parties. I mean, we're talking about a player now that's in the top 15, 20 best players in the competition. He's in the prime of his career. We've spent a lot of time developing him as a player, and he's a key element of our midfield and our drive and our whole football program.
And he hasn't even reached the halfway mark of his career yet.
No, that's right. He's still got a lot of good football. So we've spent a lot of time developing him as a person, as a leader, as a player. So while he's right in his prime, like I said, we can be very considerate and sympathetic to the pressures that he's feeling at the moment. But at the same time, he's an important part of the club.
Just fortunate he doesn't want to go to Sydney, mate. We had a bloke called Lance.
that was for compassionate grounds as well, too.
Purdy, there are.
Who wanted to go up there? Nothing to do with the $10 million.
There has been some other speculation, a rumour about that there might be some other issues with his relationship with the coach. Are you aware, or has that had to address any of those in recent times?
Look, we always hear the same rumours that you would hear about Beamsy or other players. Mm. At the end of the day, Dane is someone that's got a good open relationship with Bucks and the club. The only issue that he's raised or his manager is about the fact that his father's been sick and he wants to return. Mm. So we can only take it on face value. And they've also told us there hasn't been deals done. They haven't entered into agreements. You know, we hear about money being thrown around. We've got to take it on face value and go, what they're saying to us is what we're dealing with, and we think the solution that we're coming up with is the ideal
one. But money-wise, he's not going to be not looked after at Collingwood. From what I'm told in terms of the way you grade your players, that he's right at the top of the tree in terms of salary cap commitment that's likely to be going his way going forward anyway.
Look, he's right at the top of the tree as a talent, and we haven't even talked money, so it's not like he's trading off against two different deals. If he doesn't have a deal from Brisbane or any other club and he hasn't talked to us about what money would look like moving forward, it can't be a money thing.
I know you don't like answering hypotheticals, but if the boot was on the other foot, if Beams was a Brisbane player and you wanted to get him here to Collingwood and his father happened to live down here, what is he worth in reverse?
Without putting a figure on it, you're always going to have to pay more money to take someone out of a club. Now, if they're contracted as well, that's a whole different thing. That's like knocking on someone's front door and saying, I want to buy your house, even though you're not wanting to sell it. You're looking at a pretty hefty premium there. But that's not specifically in this circumstance. That's in general terms. Mm. Like I said, our preference is to come up with a solution where he remains a player at the club. And we may see it as potentially this is a short-term thing that he needs to get through, spend more time with the family. Maybe it's not as big an issue going forward from this point on. So that's the way we're approaching it.
I'm told that he's a really popular guy, Collingwood, obviously, but he's quite headstrong and he keeps his own counsel. He doesn't necessarily share his inner workings with too many people. And I wonder whether if he's made up his mind, I wonder whether that's an accurate sort of description of Dane Beams. And B, if he has made up his mind, do you feel like it's going to be difficult to get him to shift where he kind of sits at the moment?
Well, it is an accurate description because a lot of the best players are so focused. They are they're very focused on themselves and what they're going to achieve and their outcomes. That's why they're so successful. Mm. So it's a pretty accurate description. But at the same time, I think under the circumstances, Dane and his management and family need to be open to all the different opportunities and options. We certainly are, and we'll continue those conversations along those paths.
Given that you said this had arisen last year, but you were able to work through it, and you've explained all those things, you're going to work with him, you're going to attempt to facilitate him to go back more regularly. I gather you would have had this conversation several times with him. How's his response to that, and how was it yesterday?
Well, all we got to yesterday was really discussing what was at the heart of the issue. And then we said, look, let us, as a club, let's take some time to think about what are the different options. And so we're in such an early stage of those conversations is we haven't put the entire components. We're still working through that as a club to go logistically how that could unfold. So we haven't got a return view on that. The reason why we sent out a press release yesterday was just to be open and transparent, to let our supporters know Dane's advised the club of this. Mm. We will respond like this. It's not something we're going to commentate every day, but we certainly don't want our supporters to hear these things. As rumours out there, we'd rather be clear and concise. And Dane's been very professional and open and honest with us, and we'll approach it the same way.
So it's only a serve and return at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. It's very early stages. And like all of these things, in the past where you might deal with these things behind closed doors, I think we now know that you can't keep anything behind closed doors.
True.
It'll end up on rumour files or in the papers before you blink your eyes. So we'd much rather be open and transparent.
When you burned that this morning, before we let you go, how would you categorise the way the club felt about Beams's coming to the club yesterday? Were you shocked? Did you feel blindsided? Did you in another conversation kind of half see it coming? How would you have described the club's reaction yesterday?
Oh, look, we've known that it was an issue. We know that it's something that he's been struggling with. It's something that he's flagged before. So we couldn't say that we've been blindsided. Like I said, if we end up at a point where we come up with a solution where he can stay and we facilitate a greater connection with his family and being able to travel up there, then I think it's a good outcome. But no, it's not something that we'd never heard of or thought of before.
Do you have to start talking to Brisbane at some stage, or is that so far down the track at the moment because you're just focused on trying to turn Dane Beams around. When do you?
That's what we're focused on. Keeping in mind, this all just happened yesterday. If it does get to a point where another club's involved, and you know, there's two clubs up there, and his family's actually closer to the Gold Coast than it is to Brisbane, well, then that comes up as another possibility. But we want to just deal with our ideal scenario right at the moment.
Where are you at with Mitch Clark?
Mitch Clark is obviously he's had his challenges that again are well documented with his depression and obviously his physical issues with his feet. We're in the process of just doing a due diligence, so we've got our medical people doing a full review to evaluate, and in a lot of cases I think Mitch is too, so this is a bit of a journey for him to say, can I come back into the rigours and expectations and demands of AFL football again? We're working through with him on that process. The one thing I know, he's a great young man, and you know, he really wants to get back focused and doing what we've seen in the past he's been very good at.
Has he indicated to you that you're his number one destination if he can jump those hurdles?
There's been no commitments either way, and again, we've been public to say we're going to do the due diligence on it. There's no absolute commitments to us. We haven't made any absolute commitments. We're just exploring that together. I'm sure there'll be other clubs in the mix that are interested as well. We don't have any done deals, but we want to explore every single option that is out there at the moment.
Hey Purdy, before we let you go, Collingwood and Eddie was talking about game day experience, that you might be able to spruce things up a little bit. What have you got for us next year? What are Collingwood fans, what can they expect of the games, the additions that you're going to bring to the table?
Right, so we haven't got anything to roll out right at the moment because it was only a couple of days ago Gillon McLachlan at the CEOs and Presidents Conference said, we get the fact that as the AFL, we've got too many rules and regulations in place that basically stop all the Melbourne clubs doing anything out on the field, anything on the scoreboards, anything to engage their supporters before the game or at half time. The other clubs we're starting to see now that whether it's Port Adelaide or what they're doing at Brisbane or any of the other stadiums around the country, we're creating, because the game is part of the match day experience, but there's so much more. So now that the AFL is eliminating some of the rules and saying have a bit of fun with it, we'll sit down as a group, as a club, and see what we can roll out. But I think it's a really important step, and we appreciate that Gil has made that move so early.
Never a dull moment. Thanks for coming in and telling us about it. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Well done,
CEO Gary Peart.